Joshua chapter 2, we're reading about Rahab. Rahab is great. This is a great character. Part of the Word of God, friends. Let's just read Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. This is Rahab's confession of faith. It is. She had a confession of faith. This is it. Let's read it. And she said unto the men, these are the spies that came in, that she was hiding on her roof in Jericho. She said to the men, I know, see, confession, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard, how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, here it is, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That's her confession of faith. I'll just make three points about this. I call this Rahab from harlot to scarlet. From harlot to scarlet. She's a harlot. She's identified as a harlot. I don't believe she's a harlot, a practicing harlot, when we're reading this, but she was known as a harlot. That was her life. I'd say her past life. It starts right out there in verse 1. These spies came into an harlot's house. Now, she may not have been a harlot anymore, especially as she is starting to exercise this true faith. But such was the association of this woman with that trade, if I can say it that way. And even in Hebrews 11, when she's identified there, she made it into the hall of faith alongside Moses and Abraham and Noah. There she is. But she's called the harlot even there. You know what that underscores for us? That underscores for us God's grace. Doesn't it? It wasn't saying that she was a continuing harlot. It was basically just, this is the harlot Rahab. She's now in the hall of faith. Isn't God's grace amazing? God's salvation, friends, and this should give us encouragement. I want us to be encouraged today, because we're praying for prodigals, aren't we? We're praying for those down and outs. We're praying for real harlots today. Drug addicts, those that are going through awful lifestyle choices, the down and outs, let's say, the chief of sinners, the Apostle Paul, identified himself as the chief of sinners. God's salvation is available to the extremities of society. God's salvation is available to the chief of sinners. God's salvation is available to the lowest class. You're not going to find a lower class than this Rahab. You know, the women back then, they didn't have a whole lot of status. So to be a woman was already, you know, you were brought down a level. But then to be a harlot, I don't think you can get any lower than that as far as socially on that ladder. God's salvation reached even to her. That's why it calls her the harlot, because it's basically an announcement of God's grace. God's grace, God's salvation, I was thinking, is available to the most unlikely. And it's available to the most unlikable. God's grace. And like I say, it gives us hope. Doesn't it? It gives us hope. You think of this list that we have. you know, the list. The name the worst sinner, if you can, if you want to say it that way, the worst sinner on that list, the most impossible, the most unlikely, the most unlikable. I don't care who you name. We have this list before us. God's salvation is available for them. It reaches even me, as the hymn goes. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. That's a great line. The vilest offender. And by the way, we've been reminded on this call plenty of times that they don't just have to be a worse sinner. They could be a church-going sinner. They could be a sinner that lives on the clean side of the street. They're still a sinner. They're still lost as anything. I would say, perhaps, maybe in a worse state, because they don't know it. There's something to be said about, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. Well, the second thing we'll say is not only that she was a harlot, and God's salvation is available to the chief of sinners, to the lowest class, to the most unlikely, etc. But the smallest faith to the biggest sinner is sufficient to save. She had faith. She's listed in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11, we've mentioned that. But she had faith. You see it here. I know, verse 9, I know the Lord has given you the land. I know that. Not a question in my mind. We have heard. This is all her. She was going off of what she heard the Lord did. By the way, a whole generation ago, how the Lord dried up the Red Sea, that happened 40 years prior. By the way, you have people, the heathen out there, believing God more than God's own professing people. Isn't that amazing? The lamentation of the Lord was that these people won't believe me. They're not believing me. And yet, the Lord did all these great and mighty signs in their very presence, and they still won't believe. And yet you have these people that from a faraway place, from a great distance, just heard the rumor of this, and that was enough faith to believe. I would say the smallest faith to the biggest sinner is sufficient to save. And saved she was. Saved she was, because we read there in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. She was saved. She was saved by faith. She trusted more in what she knew about God through what she heard than in her present reality. Think about that. She was living in a present reality of being in this fortress of Jericho, whose walls were renowned for being impenetrable. So she was there. The spies were on her roof. The city officials were at her door. She could have ended it. It would have been easy for her if she was a calculating woman, if she was a woman that was just operating by sight. It would have been over then and there, but she was operating by faith. She knew something. Even though her present circumstances didn't line up with her faith, because, like I said, she was in the superior position, humanly speaking, but she knew that the Lord was real. She knew that the Lord was God of heaven and of earth. And she knew that she was in the precarious position. So she was living by faith. She was operating. She was doing everything she was doing, all of her actions by faith. And by the way, it's really interesting to me how one of the first things that she has on her heart is her family. She's not just interested in saving her own skin, so to speak. Verse 13 of chapter 2. save my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. She wanted her whole family to be saved. That's the mark of a true work of God's grace in our hearts. And that's, again, isn't that a reflection? Isn't that why we're having this prayer meeting and why we have this list? We want our families to be saved. Well, Rahab wanted her family to be saved. She was probably the black sheep of the family. But through her, her entire family was saved. I think that's wonderful. The third thing I'll say is simply this. She wanted a token. Well, this is where we come to the scarlet part. If you read there verse 12, at the very end, she said, give me a true token. I really love that. I hope we can let that just, I hope we can enjoy that. She wanted a true token. What is a true token? What's a token? She wanted a sign. She wanted something. Give me something. Give me a true token. So they did. They said, okay, scarlet thread. Scarlet thread. You put this thread on your window, and that'll be a sign. That's something you can latch on to. Well, this is not in the Bible, but if it were me, so I can't help that this would have been true, but if it were me, I wouldn't have just put a scarlet thread on my window. I would have found everything that was red and put it on my windows and everywhere. It would have been red coming out of my house. You would have had red ropes, red curtains, red ribbons, red everything. I mean, I guarantee when the children of Israel went to Jericho, they had no problem identifying which one was Rahab's house. It was red. People walking by probably said, well, this woman likes red. Well, she was holding on to that true token. And it is a token for us, that red. No coincidence that it's red. Because in Exodus 12, verse 13, it is in so many words that the blood shall be a token for you. It's wonderful. It's so wonderful. The blood shall be a token for you. This is talking about the Passover scene. And when I see that blood, I will pass over you. Well, when they saw that red, they passed over that house. And what is that? What is that? That's the blood of Christ. And that's why we glory in it. We glory in it because that represents our salvation. Jesus Christ, He died. That's a token. So think of it in the sense of, prove to me that God loves me. God so loved the world, He gave. There's your proof. He gave His Son. Romans 8. 32 is it that says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? In other words, God has proven. There's your token. You want proof? You want a true token? You're going to get any more true than that? Rahab asked for a true token. I'll give you a true token. Jesus Christ himself, his blood, his death, He proved it. God proved His love. And He can prove it with no greater sign. He sent His Son. What else do you want? So people are asking, well, does God really love? What else do you want God to do? He's done the greatest thing. He emptied the treasuries of heaven to save sinners. And that should be sign enough. So, Rahab, from harlot to scarlet, may it give us hope and may it encourage us to pray, even, yes, the most vilest offender, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Who truly believes, a vilest offender, that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Amen. Let's seek the Lord.